This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Benefits and the virtues of fasting, the significance, the importance, you know, the intention and all of that. But this is what we want to focus on in Ramadan. Alright? And I've only, you know, chosen a few topics, right? Even though there are many more things we can do, right? These are, you know, kind of the head of the matter, right? You know, like just the important parts that we need to focus on. Okay, so spirituality itself, right? We know that the Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "Asallu li wa ana ajzi bih," right? And these are powerful words, right? Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is saying to us, as conveyed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, right? That fasting is for me. You know, the person that's fasting, they're fasting for me. Allah's talking about Himself, right? And I will reward it. Don't worry about the reward, right? Which means that the reward is not limited by our understanding of reward, which is if you do a good deed, you get 10 times that good deed, which is 10 hasanat, or 10 good deeds. And it can be from 10 deeds up to 700. This statement right here just exponentially increased the reward of fasting. Why? Because Allah says it's for me. Allah will not limit Himself in rewarding you for your fast. If your fast is sincere, if it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And like we said earlier, right, the spiritual matter or the spiritual aspect of this is that this fast is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can verify it, no one can investigate it, no one can truly understand if you are fasting or not, or they can't get to the bottom, right? Why? Because fasting requires an intention. And the intention is between you and yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's as simple as that. So it is something that, it's a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you keep without anyone else knowing, right? There's no showing off. There's no, you know, bragging and trying to say, oh, look at me, look what I'm doing, you know? And you might be able to do that with other worships, but not with fasting. You cannot, right? So, you know, in Sayyid al-Khatib, it's a beautiful book that Ibn Jawzi had composed, you know, and he has this passage where he makes a comparison, right? And I wanted to share that with you. And he says, what would compare to, basically, have you seen those who adorn themselves with the cloaks of the dunya, beauty, like that of the garment, that like those of the like the garments of those who are righteous, right? This is the spirituality aspect, right? Somebody can wear whatever they want. They can look as nice as they want, right? But is that adornment, that materialistic, physical cloth, is it going to equate, is it going to be equal, right? Is it going to even compare to the, you know, the cloak or the clothes that the righteous wear, right? What are the clothes of the righteous? See, it's saying that the fasting and the actions that they do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, have you seen a better veil than the sleepiness of the mutahajjideen? So, have you seen a better veil than those who basically stay up in the night? And what the veil here means is their eyes, right? Right? They're sleeping, right? The eyes are about to veil or cover their eyes, yet they're, you know, keeping it open, they're praying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you seen pure water like that of the tears of regretful, right? Those who are, you know, they have remorse and regret for whatever sins they have committed, whatever shortcomings they have committed, or they have, right? Right? Is there water more pure than the tears that they would cry over their mistakes and their shortcomings? Have you seen leaning heads like those of the humble? Right? Those who are humble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Have you seen anyone bowing down? Right? Like those who are humble? Have you witnessed something that touches the ground better than the foreheads of those who pray? Think about that. No? Things touch the ground all the time. We walk all over the place, right? Anything that falls on the earth, anything that touches the earth, is there anything better than the forehead of a believer when it touches the ground? Right? It's elevated. It's elevated through that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so, Ramadan is that spiritual shock that we get, right? That fasting in Ramadan, it's shock therapy. That's what it is, right? You're jolted, right, with iman, right, with belief. Right? You're jolted with all these good things that you can do, and you do them. And once you do them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates your iman. He elevates your status. He gives you a taste of the sweetness of His worship. What it means to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it means to be a slave to Allah alone. Without any partners. Not to society, not to individuals, not to the environment around you, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone. Now, there are two things, right, that help with this, with prepping our spirituality for Ramadan. And there are two major things. Number one is protecting the tongue, and number two is lowering the gaze, right? And we touched on this, we talked about this earlier, but again, this is where our cost-benefit analysis comes in, right? So, the cost is to refrain from speaking evil, to hold your tongue, right? Not to insult others, right? Not to backbite or slander. The cost is to lower your gaze, right? Not look at that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made impermissible, right? To only look upon or place your gaze on that which is permissible for you. These are the costs. Right? What are the costs? This is, if you want spirituality, if you want to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, work on spirituality in Ramadan, you have to start with that. Because we walk around, we talk, we communicate as humans, right? If our communication is not right, if our eyes are wandering, are going places where they should not be going, right? They're going to affect the whole body. They're going to have an effect. Right? How do you get around? Right? You see your way around, right? Alhamdulillah, that's a blessing in itself. Right? Some of us are not grateful for that blessing. Right? And how do we communicate? If you want something, if you want to convey something, talk, right? SubhanAllah, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions a reasoning, and he says that in the creation of Allah, of these different senses, right, is proof of how important and how severe the consequence will be for that creation. So the ears, they have no cover, right? There's no cover, right? Is there a cover in the ear?
No.
So you say something, just goes right in. Right? So he says, what's higher than that is the eye. Right? Why? He's got a cover. Yeah? When you shut your eyes, you're protecting your eyes, right? Why? Because you can do more with your eyes than you can do with your ears. Right? The tongue? Got two. You got your teeth, right? Like at the back, like there, you know, second line of defense. And you got your lips. Right? So even if your lips, you know, they're not cooperating, your tongue, you know, can be held back with your tongue, with your teeth. You want to say something? You know, maybe I shouldn't say something. SubhanAllah, you know, that has some truth to it. Perhaps, you know, I'm not saying this is on, you know, this is why Allah created us like this, but makes sense, no? Think about it, right? So lowering the gaze. So some of the benefits of lowering one's gaze, right? And we'll just go, you know, through these, inshallah. Number one, obeying Allah, which leads to happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to lower our gaze, right? So when a person is not obeying Allah, right, then they will not be rewarded, they will not benefit from this their disobedience. And if a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt that they will benefit, they will be happy, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, you know, protect, you know, remember that hadith about zina, that the eye commits zina, the eye commits zina, and the zina is to look, right? So, it's something that is happening, something that can happen, that everybody has a share of. So, the more we try to abstain from that, the closer we will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, avoiding a poisonous arrow, right? And we know that in the gaze, when a person sees, and whatever they see affects their heart, right? So any poison, anything that is tainted, anything that is harmful, cannot enter the heart without having some type of passageway, right? If you don't see something, can you be affected by it? I mean, given that you're not hearing it or talking about it, right? Can you be affected by it? Your heart? There's no gateway, doesn't it? You haven't seen it, right? What is your heart going to be affected? Right? So, this is a way you can avoid any poison to the heart. Number three, fills the heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are avoiding, you're avoiding certain sights because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will replace that with, you know, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are leaving things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you something that is better. He will give you His remembrance. He will give you His pleasure, right? And this is what we see, right? Of course, it strengthens the heart. The heart is not affected, right? And it's, you know, the more bad, the more evil, the more inappropriate you see, the weaker the heart gets. Why? Because it becomes normal. It becomes okay, right? It's no big deal. Yeah, you know, I see this and I see that, but what's the big deal, right? And this is something that our communities are struggling with, right? Why? Because things that were not permissible, things that were not okay, right? They're still not okay, they're still not permissible, but people are, their reaction, their whatever, what's the big deal? It's okay, it's all right. See it walking down the street, we see it here, we see it there, right? So, The example that can be given is someone likes to swim. Someone likes to, to go to the beach and swim. Now, of course, in the society we live in, right? When you go to the beach, there are certain things you expect, right? So now, well, a person that goes normally to the beach is exposed to everything at the beach, whether it be the opposite gender or other things happening, right? If they were walking down the street and they see someone dressed in beachwear, is that a big deal to them? Yeah, whatever, what's the big deal, right? For a person who hates beaches, never goes to beaches, they hate the sand in their sandals or the ocean and the saltiness and whatever it may be, right? When they see something like this on the street, like, what is this? What's going on? Right? If anything, it'd be like, oh, this person is in the wrong place. Why? It shocks them, right? And this example, you can really so many different examples that we have and we see around us. Okay? Gives the heart light, right? The Prophet alayhi salatu was salam, right? He says that the truth is clear and falsehood.